around here. We also want to thank our friends, our sponsors, our supporters, our friend, your friend, everyone's friend, Patrick Riley. Patrick Riley is a real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows. Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind, quality service. Patrick can be reached at 530-588-6593.
He hasn't left us.
Yeah, he's still here.
Still rocking with us.
That is Hall of Fame support right there, my friend.
100% right there. Yeah, 100%. Appreciate you, Patrick.
Much love, Patrick. You can call Patrick. You can find him on Facebook. Patrick Riley with Century 21 Select. All right, we got a lot of sports to talk about, boys and girls. Or boys. The girls will be here later.
There's girls listening out there, though.
No doubt. No doubt.
100%.
Shout out to all the women who tune in, week out. Y'all are the absolute best. Thank you for putting up with our nonsense. Thank you to the women in our lives for putting up with our nonsense.
Yeah, you know? I know. Above and beyond. Yeah. Above and beyond.
They are working double time.
Yeah, you know. You suck.
It is what it is.
We are weak.
All right, let's have some fun.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Y'all know the drill. We are talking about practice. I'm your co-host, Jarrell. Alongside me, as always, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isamaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
Rudy, he had a decent weekend, so it's surprising he's not here. He had a decent gambling weekend, but he chose to work and make, I guess, taxable income.
Because that's what you do. When you're making head over heels, you just stick with a minimum wage job. Where you have to serve people.
Well, listen,
that's what you do.
You got to have a cover story for the IRS.
Every single time.
Yeah. You got to have a cover story. Yeah.
Tips is a very malleable amount of income.
Exactly.
If you don't have a shell company, might as well have a low paying job.
There you go.
That's right.
That's the biggest cover at all right there.
Exactly.
Drug dealers are doing it all wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, you should be some of the best McDonald's employees we've ever seen.
That's right. That's right. And you could serve out the window. Anyway, we got our man, Statman Brad.
Yeah!
Producer extraordinaire right there. He's going to hit you with the North State update in a little bit.
What?
A lot of exciting things happening locally. But let's start with week two in the NFL. Oh, I should mention, you go follow us at TBP Not A Game. We are live on Instagram, TBP Not A Game. Follow us, we'll follow you back. All that good stuff. You could right now jump on there, see us live behind the scenes, and see us in this cavernous studios. The studios here at KZFR, I believe, are the largest north of San Francisco in the state. They're vast. It's nice and spacious. We fit five people in here fairly regularly. But
the fact that this is the largest north of San Francisco speaks very low of the rest of the north of San Francisco.
Well, most studios are pretty confined.
Very true.
You know?
We are just a room, I guess.
Yeah,
well, we're in a room.
Well, I mean,
it's a bigger room.
Well, you think about it, it's just going to be usually a desk in the middle, straight down the middle.
Yeah,
a couple screens, and that's about it.
We need room for bands because bands do come in here and perform live, so we have space. But it looks extra spacious because we are doing some renovations here at KZFR, and it's cavernous in here.
It's very dreary.
Echo.
It's there used to be some nice artwork that hung these walls.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they keep certain aspects of this room that have touched. Many people have touched.
Like the wall. Door specifically.
Yeah, hopefully they keep the door.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they had a picture of Johnny Cash up on the wall.
They got to bring that back.
They have to bring that back. If not, I want it.
It's already gone.
Take that up with management.
I'm definitely going to have to take that up with management.
It's not going back up on the walls. It's already gone.
That's right. That's what we do here.
We will start with week two. in the NFL. I do want to get to something that's not on the rundown with you, sir, Derek, because you are in an industry, and I don't want to get to it yet, but chaos is about to ensue with holidays. This is the last little bit of it before it's pure madness for you.
Yeah, the hospitality world is always...
It gets crazy. It's rough. So I want to talk about some of the do's and don'ts as the holidays approach, when it comes to booking reservations and just how to treat your serving staff. So we'll get into that in a bit. But again, starting with week two in the NFL, I'm going to throw just some more or less headlines that I created in the rundown. And you boys tell me what's most interesting to you. So we have, the Cowboys, kind of good. We have Niners fans taking over SoFi Stadium. I really hate that we're calling it Levi's South, because we all know that Dodgers fans decided to call Oracle Park Dodger Stadium North, and I really hate that we're biting that. But
yeah, it is unfortunate when your response to somebody's is just the reverse of it.
Yeah, it's really lame.
You got to come up with something a little bit more... it's got to be clever. It can't be the exact same thing. Otherwise, you just nip them at the bait.
It's lame.
Yeah, it's not. It's a bad look. So if you're gonna do something, it's like with the Beat LA chant that every organization does when LA comes into play. That was if you're not from California, that was very much of a Sacramento Kings thing.
Yes,
that was created, that spelled on everybody. And come up with something else.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, so it's just be clever out there. Fans, we just go for something easy that's easy to chant instead of, coming up with something that actually could dig at them,
Yeah.
I'm surprised that it was the Kings that started that whole thing, not the Celtics, of all teams.
I get
the rivalry.
I could be wrong, but I want to say the Beat LA Sam feels like it started with the Sacramento Kings.
Which wouldn't shock me either. But
I mean, that was a fierce rivalry in that early 2000s.
Will you please look that up?
We could tear each other's heads off and didn't care. Because it was North and South in California, and we could not be far more different.
Well, and Sacramento has the largest little brother complex in the state of California, being that they are the state capital. But when people come to visit, no one's talking about going to Sacramento on vacation.
It might be a top 10 city you might want to consider, but I'm being generous at that point.
Sure.
Because no matter what, San Diego, San Francisco, LA, 1, 2, 3 off the bat.
Yeah, easy.
And then you go to all the small little towns. Santa Barbara is a place you want to go. San Luis Obispo.
Pismo. There's so much.
The beach towns. Yes. I take it back. Sacramento, you don't even touch it right there.
Yeah, so much of the state has is on the ocean. And so if I'm going to visit from out of town, I want to go to the beach. Not necessarily farmland. Now Sacramento has great food. They're growing. They're booming. But
and you have a river, which is a river is dope. Utilize the river.
Multiple rivers.
Yes.
That all converge in Sac. Yeah, there you go. Yes, sir.
So here it goes. It was Boston
that
started it, but it wasn't. They were not playing against L.A. It was Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals in 1982. The Sixers were pulling away from the soon-to-be ex-champions in the Old Garden, and the Boston Garden started chanting, "Beat L.A."
For the Sixers
to beat LA in the championship that year.
Okay.
So,
82,
that's when.
That's good knowledge.
All right. Good to know. We broke it down. Science.
Yeah, there you have it.
Yeah.
All right, other topics. Falcons are 2-0. Is it time to start trusting the Falcons?
No.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Shot that one down real quick. New season, same Jimmy G as the Raiders lose in Buffalo. Chargers.
Expected.
Yeah.
Bills needed a bounce back game. They had a bounce back game. Congrats. Sorry, right. Raiders.
We can move on.
Done.
Yeah. Chargers 0-2 is Brandon Staley, the head coach, on the hot seat.
He's always on the hot seat, the way that ass moves up and down and his yoga moves. Yeah.
Okay.
He's out.
Yeah. All right. See you later, Brandon Staley. Be better. You have one of the premier quarterbacks in the league, and you blew a 20-point lead in the playoffs last year in Jacksonville.
Chargers going to Charger, unfortunately, and I think that's actually a real thing.
Agreed.
It's unfortunate, and everyone's coming to believe that.
Yep.
And I think Brandon Staley tried to disbelieve it. And that's what got you. Yeah. When you go in there, you got to say, you know what? Chargers, we're going to charge her. Expect the Chargers going to charge her and then go from there.
Yeah, agreed.
Don't think that they're not going to charge her. You know? They're going to charge her. That's their name.
And they've done this even with great players in the past, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Great head coaches.
Great head coaches. It doesn't really matter.
Marty Schottenheimer.
I mean, they even have...
Marty Schottenheimer. There we go.
Yep, nailed it.
Okay. I mean, they got some great players. It's just, you know... Like you said, Chargers are going to charge her.
Chargers are going to charge her.
Yeah.
And you can't deny that. So accept the truth.
Not as bad,
being
though,
a Charger. Except being a Charger.
The Falcons. You can at least partially trust them. You can't fully trust
Well, you
the
know
Falcons.
They're going to charge her.
Yes,
you
exactly.
You can't trust the Falcons.
Yes.
Two different, vastly different scenarios.
You can trust the Chargers to charge her.
Exactly.
You can't trust the Falcons to do anything you think they're going to do.
Yep.
So you think they're going to win, they're going to lose. You think they're going to lose, they're going to win. That's why I don't bet on the Falcons either way. You think they're going to win when they have a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl? You would be lying to yourself because, you're wrong again. The Falcons are always going to deceive you. But the Chargers are consistent.
They didn't even cover the spread this week either. 1.5.
Of course they did, because that's not what they do.
No.
Why? Because good teams win. Great teams cover.
That's right.
Yep.
And unfortunately, they're not a great team.
No, they are not.
No, not even a good team.
The Chiefs get the win, but their offense still looks a little stagnant. And I guess the question here is, Eric Bieniemy leaving, was that a bigger deal than we kind of made it out to be?
Play call is everything.
I definitely would say yes. But at the same time, Travis Kelce's first week back. Let's see what next week brings. If it's the same thing, I'd say it's a huge deal for them and to watch out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it does seem odd. I mean, granted, they just won the Super Bowl. However,
rough.
Yeah. But you lose Eric Bieniemy and the play calling, just they don't seem as cohesive of a unit. But again, you did mention Travis Kelce is Patrick Mahomes' favorite target. He missed week one, came back this week. Fighting off an injury, so we'll see. That's something to watch out for. It's something just put it in your pocket. We'll take it out on a later date and re-examine. I just think that we might be underplaying that storyline a little bit.
I do believe I did not pick the Chiefs to make it into.
That's right.
The
I don't remember who you picked.
The finals, the conference finals.
Yeah.
I do know because I ruled out all possible options.
This next week, the Chiefs take on the Bears, so that's a get-right game if I've ever seen one. Oh,
Chiefs and Bears? Dude, I'm sorry. Bears?
The Bears? Man,
yeah.
Bears are going to Bears.
Yeah, don't come up, Bears fans. It's not good.
No.
You expect them to suck. Good.
Okay, so let's talk about that real quick. That wasn't a headline I had written down, but it is something I want to discuss because this offense seems like the exact wrong type of offense to be running for someone like Justin Fields. They're dinking and dunking all over the field when you have one of the better long balls in the game who's accurate on the long ball, and you're not – I think I remember hearing, I believe yesterday, that they have the least air yards in – from scrimmage in the game, the least pass yards per attempt in the league. And they've only drawn up like four designated run calls for Justin Fields, who's dynamic when he gets out of the pocket. And so I just think this is on the coaching staff, not as much Justin Fields, because he threw a couple dimes yesterday.
He did have some bad moments, though.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And he's still struggling, as most young quarterbacks will. So he's got to take some of the blame, but I just think the play calling is just god awful for a guy who can throw the deep ball, who can get out in space, make defenders move, and can be absolutely dynamic. And you're just throwing it out into the flat all day. I just don't understand that.
Plus you have actually some really good tight ends to get you the 10-15 yard, if you want to call those dump shots, in Hamet Tunyon and Mercedes Lewis. I mean, they have targets. They just
Mercedes
don't use
Lewis
them.
He's got to be 47 years old.
He's a vet.
That's a classic on the field right there.
He's a vet. DJ Moore is nasty, bro, and they're not getting him. I don't understand. How can you not hit him down the field? I mean, he came from your Panthers and was a baller for your Panthers. I don't understand what the play calls are, but whatever. I mean, we're not gonna spend too much time talking about the Bears.
I feel like this should be the end of the talk of the Bears.
All right, let's go. A question for you guys. Are the Dolphins the best team in the AFC?
Dude, when those uniforms are popping, my goodness.
They're great uniforms. They're great uniforms.
And they have a fun head coach. They have a fun style about them. They got Tua. They got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. That's just a nice little trifecta you got going on right there.
They have the fastest speed players in the league between Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Raheem Mostert. Those are just absolute burners.
And Tua is still going to have his question marks, but for the most part, he's answering a lot of those questions.
Though. He's looked great this season so far. I think they may be, and we're really early into the season, obviously.
This is when everything matters. Mm-hmm. Make your opinions now.
That's
stick
right.
with them.
Yeah, and then forget the ones we were wrong about.
Yes.
And only hold on to the ones that we were right about. That's what we do around here. Zero accountability when it comes to predictions. We can't even remember who you had in the championship games. I know the Lions were in there.
It's much like how men act out there. We just only when we're right.
Wait, didn't you have the Lions and the Ravens? Was it that?
I said I couldn't be the Ravens. No chance it was the Ravens.
Okay.
Just remember, there are no black quarterbacks in my
scenario. That's right. Yeah.
NFL is making sure that doesn't happen again.
I love your running theme or your theory here that we need a white quarterback. The NFL wants a white quarterback in the Super Bowl this year.
I mean, yeah.
Wasn't it the Jags?
Fewer of them.
What was that?
Oh, wait, no.
I was going to say, wasn't
the Jags one of them?
The Jags. And the Bills. It had to be the Bills.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense.
That makes more sense.
And,
two classic white boys right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. I get it. I get where you're coming from. This
NFL.
Year, to start the season, the NFL has never had more starting black quarterbacks opening day than they did this year with 14. So, yeah, you could be onto something, Derek. I think it's wildly irresponsible to speculate that, but also that's kind of what you do. So,
hey man,
watch out, white guys. If we get two white starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, I'm definitely.
That's a stake in it right there. Yeah, we're trying to make something happen. NFL, I get you.
I do want to go back to the Niners real quick.
Of course,
Rudy's not here.
You let that skip over. I think we both let that gladly.
Yeah, you guys had no interest in talking about that, but we're going to go ahead and get back to
it. Let yourself loop around it.
Circling back, I will say the game overall, not the most impressive performance from the Niners. That defensive line really wasn't getting to Matthew Stafford on a largely rebuilt offensive line. I thought that they would get way more pressures. Now, they were getting held left and right, but still. You pay Bosa that type of money. You just expect him and Hargrave to be in Stafford's face the whole game. They really weren't, but they started to get home a little bit more in the second half. I guess my only concern as a Niners fan, and it's just from years and years of the same struggle, and it's the deep ball, and Purdy, at least two times I could think of off the top of my head, missed Juwan Jennings on a big third and down that he certainly would have converted and kept the drive going, would have been in field goal territory, possibly would have got a touchdown, and overthrew Deebo Samuel by a good amount. Again, an easy touchdown, walk-in touchdown.
He's probably got that rookie of the year arm right now where the tendons are too tight, so he just like flings it and just
maybe that's it. You know? Maybe that's it.
He's got to bring those ligaments down a little bit, you know?
And he's in his ninth regular season start. He's 9-0 in the regular season. Probably.
Yeah, what more do you want from your dude? My goodness. You're like, I want every touchdown pass. Hit every throw.
It's
perfection.
It's PTSD from watching Alex Smith and Jimmy G. And
the
guys in between just struggle with the deep ball.
I'm sorry, your thumb is very distracting to me. I'm sorry.
The Niners thumbnail?
It's just like, it looks like you have a dead thumb. Like,
yeah,
when
I
it looks
see
from
that.
An angle, it looks like, oh man, dude, drill.
But then you see the gold and the red,
and it looks even more dead. It's like, wow, that hasn't run a Super Bowl in a very long time.
Yeah.
Quest for six would never happen.
Oh, it has. The dream has been dead for quite a while. We have been questing for six since 95. And as much crap as I would like
to
talk...
quest for one!
Yeah, one this century would be great. And as much as I'd like to talk trash about our dominance over the Rams have won one in the last few years here and beat us when it mattered the most in the championship game. So as much as I hate the Rams...
It is weird to think that they did beat you guys. I'm sorry. Like, as a, I'm easily. I kind of wish I kind of was a Rams fan to have a little more stake, but I really don't really care about the Rams whatsoever.
Yep.
But seeing that happen was like, how?
Well, Jimmy Ward dropped the easy pick.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Jimmy Ward. I always blame Jimmy Ward.
TJ Ward.
No, I can't remember who it was 18. Now. Was it Jamarius Ward? 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
You had like four Wards on the team at one point.
Yeah,
time,
we did. Doesn't matter. We'll see what happens. But I'm just, again, you could put that in your pocket. It's something to monitor. Purdy's deep ball. They have a get right game, even though it's on only 3 days rest this Thursday against the Giants, who, man, they got the win yesterday, but they dug themselves into a 20-0 hole against a team who was intentionally trying to take in the Arizona Cardinals so they could get the number one draft pick to draft Caleb Williams, who doesn't want to go there. So
I love this. I can't wait for this to happen right now.
Oh, I can't either.
I want another Eli Manning situation, but it's going to be more elaborate this time. It's going to be much better because players are finding a lot more leverage out there. And if it happens, oh God, get your bonbons ready.
Oh, it's going to be a great story.
Juicy.
Oh, yeah. So, it's going to be a great story.
I hope the Arizona Cardinals continue to tank. Please continue to do so. We all appreciate that.
Well, one thing on that real quick on the players leverage. One thing that I didn't hear many analysts talking about when it comes to playing portals, playing players with NIL deals and all that, is players now, the draft we've talked about on the show, unfair. It's stupid how we do this in an meritocracy.
It's un-American.
It is un-American. It's so dumb.
Makes me vomit.
And get rid of the salary cap, but that's neither here nor there.
It's more
but players now have leverage where they don't have to leave after their junior year because their family can actually eat off the money they're making off endorsements.
My dude Caleb Williams is on national Wendy's commercials.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yeah.
That is insane to think about. Like, yeah. I remember I was like, oh my goodness, what? And it's just like, okay, yeah. Whoever is the CEO of Wendy's loves USC.
Yep.
That's all we know right now.
Yeah.
And it is insane to think that this is what this guy is getting. And you think that doesn't come cheap, y'all.
My dude
is making bread.
Yes.
Okay?
Wow.
This is insane to think about. He's on a national commercial right now.
Fred Warner or Jimmy Ward? Which one?
Neither one of them.
Okay. Those are the only two, I mean, outside of that being maybe Jordan Willis, but
I don't think it was a Ward at all.
All right. Okay. Never mind. We apologize to the Wards out there for the incorrect attributing a dropped interception because that is a disgusting thing to have on your helmet.
Jimmy Ward had an interception that game.
Ooh, there we go.
Returned it back for 23 yards.
Watch yourself, Jarrell. Speaking of all these things.
My bad. There's so many Wards on the squad, it's hard to keep track. Let's talk baseball, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
You want to take us on a walk around the bases and catch us up to speed on what's going on in this playoff race with only 2 weeks left in the season?
Let's do it, y'all, because it is going to be a fun 2 weeks right now, what we're getting up to, because nothing's set in stone except for two things right now. Well, three things. Four things. Wow, that's a lot more. Atlanta, NL East champions.
Jaquaski Tart. Sorry, that's who dropped the ball.
Okay, there we go. We
found it. Jaquaski Tart.
100%.
Not a word at all. Go ahead.
Yes.
My bad.
So, Atlanta Braves are NL East champs, like I said, written in stone. We should have known that a while ago. Again, Atlanta, if you don't win the World Series, head in the sand.
Yep.
Dodgers, surprisingly, NL West champs. A lot of people doubted them this year.
Wait, surprising? To who?
Everyone had the Padres in mind. From the start of the season, it was Padre talk all around.
Yeah.
You know, everyone thought the Dodgers were going to have a pretty down year. Now, I might be as a biased Dodger fan thinking anything I see bad, I'm like, how dare you? To his personal attacks.
You know, perfection, I get it.
But no, at the same point in time, it is the Dodgers. At some point in time, we realized that was going to happen. Actually, about halfway through the season, we realized, okay, Dodgers, you're winning this. It's yours to be lost.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Boom. And congratulations, Baltimore and Houston.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Baltimore and Tampa Bay.
Have
clinched their berth. Now, granted, division title still up for grabs.
They're a game back from each other. Well,
which would give one of them a bye week.
Yep.
And the other one playing a wild card series.
That's right.
So that is huge implications on the line right now. And they're only separated by, what, two games?
Two games.
So
Baltimore's
right now
up two games on Tampa Bay. But Baltimore has played two less games.
Okay.
So
Baltimore's got in hand right now, and they're looking good. I mean, that's a fun young team over in Baltimore.
They are fun to watch.
With some good young, older vets in there to kind of hold it together. Soon to be rooted in stone will be the Minnesota Twins marking their way into the playoffs with their AL Central as they limp in there, essentially. I mean, they're still a young team. They have some streaks in them, but still, that AL Central was just abysmal to watch all season long. That being said, the biggest race probably of them all right now, where this North State is looking at, is the NL Wild Card. The NL Wild Card has, for the most part, three spots up for grabs. Four, kind of. Philadelphia probably locked into that one spot.
Well, yeah.
Milwaukee most likely taking their spot as well.
Yep.
That being said, we got three spots. Five, kind of six teams who can make their way into it. Padres on an outside chance with a little run of streak right now that's real good, and I hate to say it.
No.
Oh, God, no.
No.
No, no, no.
They need to win out for 100%. That to even happen.
They're on a four-game win streak right now, and they've got a pretty easy schedule ahead of them, and they're finally clicking out there. I don't know. But that being said, you have a series against them, I believe.
Yep.
One
three-game series against them.
That's going to be a huge series, actually, for San Diego and for you guys to stay alive.
Yep.
If they pass you, it's over.
Both teams need to sweep there. If either team loses a game in that series, just done.
It is bad news, Bears. Also, the Cincinnati Reds looking like I don't think they're going to make it. I think they're one of the teams that falls out. Miami, though, had a fantastic weekend as they swept the Braves at home. Huge move. Three games for Miami right there, but also a terrible three games for the Chicago Cubs, but a great three games for Arizona as they swept Chicago at home. So this is a bad news for the Cubs right now as they are playing some bad baseball on a very pivotal time. We got, 2 weeks left, less than 20 games, I want to say, for most of these teams. It's probably around 15 games, more around 12 or something like that.
So we have Giants have 12, and everyone else has about, 12 to 13 right now.
So there we go. We got this is going to be an insane how close these teams are. They're only separated by two games for Giants out of the last wild card spot. San Diego six back. So again, it's not unheard of, but also that's the one. Oh God, I don't want to see that happen.
And the Giants had the most abysmal weekend playing against the Rockies. They lost 3 out of 4. They survived this last game on Sunday. And right now, they're where I said I wouldn't fully worry at being two games back of that wild card spot with Arizona, the two-game series coming up. But right now,
you guys play a very streaky brand of baseball. It's not good.
We have to win these next two games against Arizona, which we've been very good against them this year. But then after that, we go and play Dodgers for 4 games. Then we come back and play the Padres for 3, and then Dodgers again for another 3.
That 4-game series against the Dodgers could also be another nail in the coffin if done properly by the Dodgers.
Yes.
Which would be sweet to do. But I kind of want you to do our bidding and get rid of the San Diego Padres. So I want you to have a little some fighting juice in you.
So at least
we'll do our best. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So just let us get 3 out of 4 for that Dodger series, and then just
This is at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let us take 3 out of 4.
That's gonna be tough out there because we love beating you guys.
I know.
Yeah.
And if you can knock us out of the playoffs
early, that would be great. Yeah,
that would be. Icing on the cake, right there.
I really hate that idea.
I don't like it, but you know what? Just end our misery now.
Let you bring up some studs, see what happens out there, give them some play, but you never know. It's going to be fun. Again, still.
It's going to be yes.
This is going to be an exciting week.
Yep.
No matter what. It's early playoff baseball right now for us.
2 weeks left, and that's it.
So going into the playoffs, who's your team to watch?
Philadelphia is always a scary team. I meant more of
if you could only watch one team throughout it, just for time purposes, and you could only go watch one. Other than the Dodgers,
it'd probably be the Orioles.
Yep, I was about to say that. That's my team.
Those would be the team I would want to watch, just because they do play an exciting brand. Yeah. They have that young blood about them. Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. That is an exciting squad. They have some older vets in Santander, O'Hearn in there as well. Shouts to all those guys, and they have a fun pitching staff as well. Unfortunately, they lost Felix Bautista. Because he was a nasty dealer on the mound right there. Dude was a mountain out there, 6'7", dealing what he was dealing. Oh, dude, I don't know how anyone could get anything off of that guy. But it's unfortunate that he is out. But they're still hanging tough. So Baltimore will be the team. Yeah.
I will. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the one little thing I'm going to add in before Drew goes is Seattle. I'm always excited to see Seattle in the playoff mix because when they get a home game at that T-Mobile Park.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, whatever it is. That's an atmosphere to see.
On all accounts, the Dodgers, we just had a series against Seattle right now. We did sweep them, but all three games were a fun atmosphere.
Yes.
They do show up for that team. They do love
they
that.
They love their teams up there.
That being said, the AL wild card is going to be a very juicy race as well. Not as many teams involved, just Seattle trying to get their way in. Zero chance of the Yanks ever making it. Six and a half right now. Yeah, they look
pathetic. I would like to see Seattle creep in there.
I would too. Texas has a chance to really fall off just because of the loss of Max Scherzer for the season right there. That is a tough blow.
Yep.
Interesting how a lot of these teams that really went for it are getting hammered with some of the decisions. Now, granted, Texas, you had to do what you had to do, but in particular the Angels and the way that this Shohei Ohtani situation has happened. He has cleared out his locker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's cleared his locker at the stadium right now. He's done for it. Sorry, Angel fans. I feel for you. Your organization is ineptly run.
Yes.
And you don't deserve this. You had two aces and you didn't know how to play them. It's not your fault. You guys are there. You showed up. You did your part.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. So the Mariners are actually going to have a fun end of the season. They have three games against the A's, one going on here soon. And then they have three against the Rangers. Then they go against the Astros for three. And then the last four games of the season against the Rangers.
There you go. That's so seven against, right there.
Yep, that is what you want to see.
Yes. Let's go.
Is the top contending teams are vying for that playoff spot. All of them are playing. So it'll be fun to see. Absolutely.
Yep, agreed. I just wanted to mention you asked about what teams we're looking to watch.
Yes.
I'm interested to see how the Braves do in the playoffs because they are going in as the prohibited favorites after just an incredible regular season. I always like to see a team with expectations in the playoffs because baseball is so much different than other sports where all it takes is you get hot at the right time, and what you did the last 162 might not matter. So we'll see. We'll see.
That is always a fun thing to watch as well, I will say. And they, no matter what, the Braves have put on a show this entire season.
Yep.
But I've been there before, y'all.
Yes,
you have.
We
put on a show as well a couple of seasons, and it has not come to fruition. And it sucks.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yep. Yep.
Now, I will say this Dodger team has exceeded my expectations, so I will be like, I'm happy at this point in time. I really am. Like, this team has been a lot of fun to watch. They're really, it's a fun squad, so I'm obviously going to have that interest, but I can't wait. This is going to be, I really feel like this is just be a fun brand of October baseball. And it's just fun to say that.
Yeah.
October
yeah.
baseball.
We're finally
so
here.
Close.
We're finally here.
That's a chub right there and a half.
Let's move on. We're going to get to you with the news, but let's take a little break here and just remind you, we are talking about practice. Drew, Derek, Statman, Brad in the building.
Woo.
Right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. People powered.
Rudy working off the IRS right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We are people powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Once again, thank you for spending some of your evening with us here at TBP. Also, thanks to our friends at Baird Roofing Company. For a hole in your roof or a whole new roof, Baird Roofing Company has been serving Butte County for more than 30 years. Whether it's an existing structure or new construction, Baird Roofing has got you covered. More information is available at BairdRoofingCo.com. You can also find them at 530-342-1631. Thank you to Baird Roofing Company. Thank you to Patrick Riley of Century 21 Select. Thank you to all of our underwriters helping keep the lights on around here. And thank you in advance to Derek for catching us up on what's going on around the world. Derek has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. We take ourselves as local as we possibly can right now by going to Wisconsin, and particularly Marshfield, Wisconsin, where a popular meat manufacturer is out there, Wenzel Farms. I don't know if you ever heard of it. I haven't.
Have not.
But they make meat products, so I like them already.
All right.
Either way, this meat product family is celebrating their 75th year of producing meat products. All that goes into it. So 75 years of killing cows. Yeah!
All right.
Hey, somebody's got to do it. We appreciate you, Wenzel Farms, for doing it, because I don't have the guts to do it. But I like to eat the guts of those things that you're cutting up. Kind of. Not really.
Not the guts.
Yeah, I don't really go down that route.
Yeah.
But either way, everything else inside, delicious.
Yep.
But either way, this meat manufacturer, Wenzel Farms, went on the way to celebrate the 75th anniversary by trying to get into the Guinness Book of World Record. Now, what do you think they tried to produce to get into this Guinness Book of World Record?
Meat.
You got it. The biggest meat stick they possibly could.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
A 315 meat stick created by Wenzel Farms got its way into the Guinness Book of... 314 feet. Meat stick.
Wow.
That's from end to end.
Wow.
So, that's a lot of meat.
That is.
That's a lot of meat.
Large meat stick.
Yeah. Yeah. My goodness. The avenues I could take this right now.
Please don't.
Are endless. But I bring them back to the cleanliest ones. So, shouts to Wenzel Farms and your meat making ability by making this 315 meat monster. That anyone could gobble up. Many people could. Just get a little piece of it. Enough for everybody.
Yeah.
So we move on from Marshfield, Wisconsin. And we go into a little Long Island action right now. So we are keeping it within the borders here. And it's a pretty interesting story here at a middle school in Long Island where a fifth grade health teacher presented had a little test for the kids. A little social scenario. Uh-oh. To see how they would respond in a situation. Now, they were given a task where they were essentially in a shelter, and they're trying to let people into said shelter. They were given 10 options, and they could only pick 6. Now, this is fifth grade. Once again, that's around 10 years old. This is health class. Here are the options that are presented to these kids. A 16-year-old pregnant girl. It's a lot on your hands right there. Police officer with multiple charges of brutality pending against him. He has his gun. How do you know he has any of that? A 38-year-old retired prostitute.
What?
A 75-year-old priest.
What?
A 35-year-old sterile female doctor. Sterile female doctor. 6 and 7, husband and wife. They refuse to be separated. He is a lawyer. She is an alcoholic. Classic example of Americana.
What?
8, a 31-year-old homosexual architect. 9, a 50-year-old musician previously addicted to cocaine. And then 10, a 28-year-old drifter with no apparent skills. Who are your 6 guys? Who are you taking in?
Oh, my God.
Who are you taking in? This is, again, presented to 10-year-olds by a fifth-grade health teacher in Long Island that obviously got the people riled up, that's why it made the news. And this teacher is now on suspended leave for presenting kids with such a impossible scenario. You give that to anyone, that's a head-scratcher.
Yeah.
All right, who's the first one off your list, though, guys? Come on. All right, I want to know.
The drifter.
The drifter?
Yeah. Got to knock the drifter off on that one.
But how do we know this, though? Do they come with, information above their head?
I missed the first part. Is this, to start a new civilization?
So essentially, they're in a fallout shelter.
Oh, okay. All right.
And an event of a nuclear attack. So a nuclear attack has happened.
Yeah. Drifter's gone. I don't want to have Idiocracy coming around.
At the same point in time... Yeah, I don't know. It's just it's a.
Do we need more lawyers? Let's be honest.
Well, I mean, that's
and an alcoholic too. Yeah. I'm just saying, we get one of one, we get rid of the other. So it's it's probably an easy 2-for-1 right there.
Yeah. I think they're going.
So those 3 are gone.
Yeah,
we got 3 down. Okay, so we need 6 or 7. So we just need one more to get out. You know,
go through the list again.
16-year-old pregnant girl, which is kind of 2 actually.
Yeah,
you know,
so keep her.
Like, you know,
keep her.
It's extra mouth to feed, though.
No, there's an extra mouth to feed.
But you know what? It's helping start the world.
Okay. You know,
you got to think about extra life. Thing, yeah,
because we do have a sterile female doctor in there. Maybe that's the one we get rid of.
Yeah, there it is, there right there.
Yeah, so 35. Wait, hold on. Female doctor. Oh wait, she's a doctor.
She's a doctor. There it is.
A doctor.
Yeah. And then wait. What are the old people? There's a priest and there was
75-year-old priest.
Probably. See you later.
What's the other one?
38-year-old retired prostitute.
Okay, what's the other old person?
It does not.
We're keeping the retired prostitute.
It does not mention the sex of this prostitute, though.
Doesn't matter. Okay. The fact that they were successful enough to retire.
38 years old, very true.
Yeah. Yes. So then,
and then we have a police officer with multiple charges of brutality pending against him. He has a gun. I think we keep him because he has a gun. I'd rather have it on my side than not.
I mean, if we...
In situations that arise...
Brutality charges, though...
But then you end up...
Could be helpful in a... Maybe we got zombies out there. We kind of need some vicious people out there. We've seen somebody to hit somebody, you know?
Fair enough.
He's our muscle.
See, this is quite the head-scratcher, and I think this teacher should be complimented, not condemned.
Yes, because I want to know what the... Like, and again, do not condone police brutality, but is he protecting his own, and that's why he's going to protect the other five?
I mean, again, this is all...
If he's going to protect the other five...
If it's a
fallout
shelter you're walking up to, you're just like, what do you have in front of you? A gun? Yeah. All right, you're in.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually probably how it would go.
Yeah.
You know, but I do appreciate the attempt to get these kids to think.
Do we get rid of the priest then? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, well, he's out.
That's the fourth? All right, so there we go. We have our six.
Yeah,
good job, group. Good job, group.
All right. Good job, everyone.
Yeah, success.
Good work.
That's a good project right there.
Yep.
And now we're all dead.
All right.
And that's the news.
Excellent work, sir. What a head scratcher.
Wow.
Let's class up the show a bit, as we do around this time each and every week, and bring in our foreign correspondent, Aaron. Hello.
How's it going, guys?
We're doing well on our end. You know, usually your brother handles the F1 coverage around here, though we've had precious little of it this season. So we decided to turn the reins over to you to catch us up on what's going on with F1 this season.
I appreciate it. It is truly a new love of mine. I know everyone's upset because only Max Verstappen is winning, but I think it's incredibly short-sighted of you guys to only think of that. However, this was a great week for you, Max Verstappen, and Red Bull haters, because Max Verstappen and actually Red Bull altogether didn't even make it into Q3.
Wow.
Max Verstappen and Checo, their cars really struggled. Max complained a lot. He
naturally
was on P11 start.
That's crazy.
It was pretty crazy.
So who won?
I guess that's people want to know that. It was Carlos Sainz of Ferrari.
Ooh.
It was a really interesting last few laps. There were four drivers from three different teams who were attempting to get number one. And this was, I think, probably one of the most fun things that you'll see in F1 driving, because there was a lot of strategy that ended up going into it. The two Mercedes cars were in the top four. There was also Lando Norris and Carlos Sainz who ended up winning. And the Mercedes cars were able to put on fresh tires with 17 laps to go under a safety car. So with their fresh tires, they would all obviously have a huge advantage. However, Sainz realized this and kept Norris within one second so that Norris could use DRS. At one point, Sainz got too far in front, and George Russell almost passed him, and so he had to slow down a lot to close that gap. And in the last lap on turn 10, George Russell ended up crashing with less than 3 miles to go.
George
Russell is completely out. Carlos Sainz takes first, Lando Norris second, and Lewis Hamilton third.
Wow. All right, so as long as Red Bull's not dominating, it's interesting. I mean, Max Verstappen's dominance is well documented, and I do think that that's also interesting. I think it's funny that we're all complaining about dominance as an American fan base when we root for that regularly in American sports.
Well, if it's your team dominating.
Correct.
Okay, I will say,
then you just need to be a Red Bull fan, Derek. This seems like a personal
No, I do. I appreciate the Red Bull team. What they used to be, they were the underdog team that was trying to break it into the world of F1 that had been dominated by the likes of the car companies of McLaren, have been dominated by Ferrari as well. They were that dog. Now they've established themselves quite as a superior foe in the F1 world and have exuded that right now. And when you have a car that's as good as the one they had when the season started, it's commendable. 100% what they were able to do, how they designed it. It's all apparently under the legal pretense of the F1, yada, yada, yada. That being said, they're putting on a show, 100%. It does take away from the competitive aspect when you already have the idea that Max is so far superior, his car is so much better than everyone else's, that even with the driving that is happening behind him, it distracts from that, essentially. So it is nice that when you remove that, you do get the actual case of you need to be able to have the strategy in your hand and have the driver to do some amazing moves and all that. So this is what you want driving to be, essentially.
When I think dominance is fun when other teams, you believe them to have a legit shot on any given Sunday or on a given night, right? Like, you want that other team or your team to at least have a fighting chance, and they've just been, Red Bull's been so dominant, Verstappen's been so dominant the last few seasons that it hasn't felt that way. So don't know that this is necessarily changing of the guard necessarily, one race, but at least we had it mixed up a little bit.
Something's coming out right now. Yeah. Other teams are catching up, essentially, I feel, at this point in time, too. When that break happened, it's, you know, everyone goes into the factories.
That's right. All right, you got anything else for us on F1 right now, or do you want to jump into questions?
That's it. I just want to say Daniel Ricciardo is back.
Yes.
He had an accident a few weeks ago, but that is what I am most excited for. I love that guy. I feel like he's the face of F1, and I'm so pumped.
He's a great figure out there.
Yeah.
He is funny as can be.
Yeah,
he's got a great personality.
Happy all the time.
Yes.
Just love that guy.
Yeah, he's great.
And the fact that the injuries coming back from is just as impressive right
crazy.
Now. Yeah, yeah. The wrist injuries are not taken lightly in that sport.
Yeah, they're absolutely right. All right, let's jump into our bad life advice segment. This week, we just have one question because it's quite the doozy and it's long. So hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen, as I struggle to read aloud. The question was emailed to me and it's titled, "How do we tell our friend not to get married?" All right, hello lads and gals of TBP. Love the show. It's nice to hear different voices locally than we are used to hearing. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much. Enough jock riding. I will get straight to the question. A friend is going to propose to an awful woman and we need to stop it. A little background information might be helpful. Our friend, let's call him Ronald, which I love that he called him Ronald, has been in a 3-year relationship with a truly terrible person. This woman, the woman in his life, let's call her Deb, is, well, awful, as I mentioned before. She moved in with our friend, who is very successful, and just bought a home right before they met. Within 2 months of knowing each other, she moved in. On the surface, this doesn't sound like a big deal. Sometimes when you know, you know. I've been happily married myself for 7 years, and my wife and I only dated for 9 months before we got married. So I am empathetic to the time frame here. When she moved in, she said she just quit her job and was actively looking for a new role. And as soon as she found work, she would start splitting bills. That was almost 3 years ago. And guess who hasn't found a full-time job yet? She has had a cup of coffee with a few low-paying jobs, not judging, but she has struggled to maintain full-time employment. So you guessed it, she hasn't started paying any, hasn't split any bills yet. To make matters worse, she has adopted 3 dogs since moving in with my friend. Now, I too am a dog lover and a dog owner myself, and so obviously I love animals, but I also know that with pets, and particularly dogs, there is quite the responsibility associated. She'll often leave the dogs with Ronald while she goes home to visit her parents for weeks at a time. To make matters worse, she will often fight with Ronald in front of all of our friends and significant others. Recently, we all went on a trip together, and she spent the majority of the trip making things awkward for everyone and ruining our time by fighting with Ronald over silly stuff like not bringing her water when he grabbed himself a water bottle. My wife and some of our our friends are all really close, and the girls all have a group chat together. Though Deb is not very close with the other woman in the group, the other women wanted to be friendly and invite her to said group chat. Within the first week of the group chat, she felt that she felt it appropriate enough to complain about Ronald and how selfish he is, and even went into their lackluster sex life.
Oh.
After no one responded for a day and the women talked amongst themselves, my wife decided to write a thoughtful message, and it stated the following. He screenshotted it. I'll just read it here. Deb, I am sorry you are going through a difficult time. This group chat might not be the most appropriate platform to share your grievances with the group, since we are all friends with Ronald and some of the girls don't know you all that well yet. I hope things get better, and if you need someone to talk to privately, you are more than welcome to call me. Deb responded to this by immediately removing herself from the group chat and unfollowed my wife on all social media platforms. She even reached out to one of the other women in the group, who happens to be very close to my wife, to talk about what a bee my wife was being. She has even gone as far to tell all the women when they went out for drinks a few months back that she wasn't really actively pursuing a new job, and she had even stopped taking birth control unbeknownst to Ronald because she wants to be a stay-at-home mom. I could go on and on, but I think y'all get the point at this point. Y'all get the point. She sucks. Ronald recently told us that he was planning to propose at her parents' house during the holidays this year. Being friends with Ronald of almost 20 years, I can't let this happen without talking to him first. If Ronald seemed happy, I would leave it alone and just chalk it up to love does weird things to people. But Ronald doesn't even seem happy, and he never is complimentary of Deb, rarely ever says anything nice about her. And when we usually bring up the topic of, oh, how are things with Deb, he sighs, rolls his eyes, and just says, hey, you know. My question is, how should I bring this up to my friend Ronald? Should I involve some of the other friends? We have all been in this friend group for at least 10 years, gone on multiple vacations together, spend at least a day or two a month together, going out for drinks, catching up, or going over to each other's house, and we're all very close. I also don't want him to feel that this is an intervention, but I want him to know that we all share the same concerns. I know I run the risk of upsetting a very good friend of mine, but I'd prefer to be honest with him rather than be there when he is spiraling from a failed marriage and trying to relive his single 20s in his 40s after they inevitably split and she takes half of all his stuff. Thank you for taking the time on the show. I know it was a long one.
That is
show's
heavy.
Over, guys. Let's go. Right. Yeah, that is heavy.
There's a lot going on there. Aaron, as always, we'll defer to you. You are the, I think you're the best at this. So can you help our friend out on how he should approach Ronald on this one?
Yeah, it's pretty rough. The writer made a really good point. I don't think you want to make it feel like an intervention. He'll get very defensive. It's just human nature to get defensive. I think that just each one of you as friends has to go up to him and be like, hey, man, let's grab a beer. And then just, you know, hey, how's it going with Deb? No, really, how is it going with Deb? No, be honest with me. Like, really, you want to propose to her? Like, you know, I understand that you love her and you know, maybe things were good at one point. But, you know, don't be afraid to break up with her because you've been with her for so long. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible reason to stay with someone.
Yes.
And you're right. He will inevitably get divorced, right? Huge red flags, you know. If he doesn't know that she stopped taking birth control and your wife told you that, tell him very soon.
He needs to know, yeah.
That's a line that's so, I mean, just the craziest, craziest red flag I've ever heard. Immediately tell your friend. That's, you know, if that's how you want to start the conversation, hey, my wife told me that she told her.
Yeah.
And I think that you really need to know this, and it concerns me.
I couldn't agree more. One thing, yeah, you run the risk of upsetting him, but I think we've all... I certainly have been there as the guy dating someone where my friends weren't the biggest fans and saw some red flags. I wasn't necessarily talking about marriage, but I would have been upset had I moved forward and then it inevitably didn't work out and my friends are all like, yeah, we never liked her anyway. You know, I think you have to be straight up if he's talking about marriage, and specific to what you were just talking about, Aaron, if she had told all the women that she stopped taking birth control, that is cause enough to break things off.
That's scandalous. And the fact that that woman is crazy isn't a good enough word, I feel, for this at this point. Because the fact that she got felt comfortable enough to tell the wives of his friends that she came into. This is his friend group, essentially, that she's bearing her grievances to. And she's not the sharpest tool in the shed. Doesn't have quite a big wherewithal.
I would say definitely bring the receipts of all of this that you can. Don't shove it in his face, but if he starts having questions, at least you can have those and be like, hey,
I mean, you
this
have
is
enough,
also.
I feel like you have enough information just with the, we know she's not taking birth control right now.
Yeah.
That's enough to go, hey, grab a beer. We need to talk.
I think that's
just very important. And it's from there, you really want to go through with this girl that's willing to do this to you? And hopefully that he, knocks some sense and just realize a relationship should be something that you cherish and have fun with, and the person you're with is something you actually like. Not just love.
I think you and Aaron brought up a great point. You have this birth control conversation as a springboard to voice other concerns. I think you go out with the boys, you grab some drinks one night.
Not a lot of boys, though. Maybe just one or two. Again, you don't want it to feel like an intervention.
Those never work.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Maybe just who's your other closest friend in the group? Bring him out. You guys have, the three of you have a nice little chit chat. Hey, listen.
Don't get drunk.
Our wives
don't get drunk.
Before you get hammered, have this conversation. Then feel free, get loose, and ease some of the tension. But definitely have this conversation sooner, today, if possible. Grab your other buddy that's real good friends who can be kind of counterbalance the whole argument there if one arises. But, you got to tell them, and I would just be direct. So
before that next nut.
And then can I just say, if he is open to this and he does break up with her, be that good friend group. Be there for him. It's going to be tough. Even if it's a crappy relationship, it's still very painful. It's still very difficult. Be there. Surround him. Be his friend. Hang out with him. Really make an effort to make plans with him and go out with him. You're his friend and you're telling him this because you love him. Show up for him and show him that you're his friend. And it's going to take some time, but you don't want him to go back to her, so occupy all of his time so you know he's not going back to her.
Couldn't agree more. Excellent as always, Aaron. We will catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later, Aaron. All right, so as normal, I didn't leave any time for us to get to Foot and Mouth. You're going to have to probably speed through that. And we got to get North State update. So,
North State update right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Would you like some music, sir?
Nope, I got it.
All right.
All right. It was a big weekend for Chico State soccer as Chico State men's soccer goes 6-0 to start the season. They beat Biola 1-0 and beat Dominican at home 3-0. They'll be playing against They'll be playing against Stanislaus State this weekend at Stanislaus State, but no game on Friday. The next home game is going to be September 29th against Cal State East Bay, and then again October 1st against Cal State San Marcos. Women had a rough weekend as they split the series against Azusa Pacific and Biola, both away. Azusa Pacific was a 2-0 loss, and then Biola was a 3-2 victory. They'll be playing Stanislaus State to start the season for the CCAA. Now headed to volleyball, they got swept. It is a 3-3 overall record. Unfortunately, they dropped the first two games in conference against Cal State LA, ranked number 21 in the country, and then against Cal State Dominguez Hills. They'll be playing at home against Sonoma State this Friday, and then Saturday against Cal Poly Humboldt. Now going to prep football, Chico High is on a roll still.
Yes, sir.
Absolute roll. They beat Whitney 27-17. They'll be playing away in Roseville against West Park this Friday, 7:15. Then PV, a little bit of a rough start to this tough section of their schedule. They lose to Oak Ridge 31-7. Next up, they'll be away at Central Catholic in Modesto this Friday, 7 o'clock start time.
Are you really not going to shout out the Chico High?
I was trying to run through this real quick.
You got to shout him out.
Okay, give me 1 second.
Okay,
let me go quickly over here to Durham as they got pummeled by Paradise, 43-0. Not a great showing after that good showing against Oroville. They will be playing against Orland at home. Not this weekend, not this Friday, but next Friday. So thankfully they have a little bit of time to figure things out, because right now they look like they're in shambles. But again, the Chico High football player, their running back, Deion Coleman, is absolutely going off this year. Four games, he's averaging as a running back 179.5 yards a game. Let me repeat that. Four games so far this year, 179.5 rushing yards this year. Absolutely incredible.
Three touchdowns as well, you said?
11 touchdowns.
11 touchdowns.
11 touchdowns for this guy.
Four games.
Okay. Unbelievable. So good for him. And I see he's added